changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
Well, today we're going to actually talk about Christmas because I have done... Let me make sure I got the right one. Nope, that's one coming up later. Today we're calling this a little Christmas story. When you're a minister of a church and Christmas comes around, you're like, oh, this is going to be so fun and this is going to be so great. And you do that for your first year and then the next year and the next year and the next year. And I actually spoke in churches on or around Christmas, sometimes multiple times. Sometimes I would do Advent series. And I did this for 25 years. So you get to a point where you're like, oh my gosh, I can't put a new spin on Christmas. What in the world am I going to talk about? So you start rehashing old stuff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I just want to share with you some of the things that I find interesting about the Christmas story. I was playing Trivial Pursuit with some friends, and it asked for the names of the three wise men. We don't know the three wise men's names. In fact, wise men's. We don't even know if there were three. Here's why. Because in the Bible, it says that there were wise men in the East and they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So the belief has always been that there were three wise men, one gift each. You know, there could have been five and two of them were going, come on, remember the frankincense is from us. Remember, you tell them that we all went in together on the frankincense or whatever. So we don't know. We also don't know when Jesus of Nazareth was born. Some people have conjectured it was actually probably in June. And one of the more interesting things about the Christmas story is that you can't get the full nativity that you and I like to have, the creche that we put out. You can't get all of that with the star, the wise men, the shepherds, and everything else unless you combine multiple gospels into one, because none of them have the entire Christmas story. So where is the Christmas story? Well, the word Christmas means Christ Mass. I'm going to break this down for you. Christ means the anointed one. It comes from the, it's Greek word Christos. Messiah means the same thing. It simply means the anointed one. So the anointed one. Mass means celebration. So it means a celebration of the anointed one, a celebration of the one God has sent for us. So press pause on that. Let me point out something else for you. In one of my many, 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 many Christmas talks, I went back and I did some research and I discovered that almost every major religion in the world has some sort of major celebration about the same time as Christmas. Now, those of you who you know are more plugged into history and everything know that this all goes back to the winter solstice celebrations. That it was taken, Christmas was appropriated because the Romans, the people in the Roman, which was the Roman world, literally at that time, were already celebrating the winter solstice. So one of the things after Constantine appropriated the Christian religion was that Christmas was also taken on and replaced the winter solstice. Another interesting thing about Christmas is that Christmas was not celebrated until somewhere around 400 or 500 CE. That stands for Common Era, what we used to call AD, Anno Domini. Anyway, wasn't celebrated until around 400 or 500 because back then you didn't celebrate the day of someone's birth. You celebrated the day of their death. And as a result, Easter was actually the popular holiday for many, many, many years. So why do most religions have a celebration during the darkest, coldest time of the year, at least here in the United States? It appeared to me, or it occurred to me, that people need to celebrate, and we need to affirm life the most when it seems like everything around us is dead, when it is all covered in snow. As I'm recording this, I'm sitting in my home in Miami, And when the pandemic first struck and they shut everything down, the tower next to us, because we're on the 17th floor of a tower in downtown Miami, overlooking the bay, the tower right next to us is much taller than this tower. It's probably, I don't know, 35 stories, something like that. And when everybody was first quarantined, remember that when we did that for a few weeks? And people would come out and they would want to celebrate. So at 7 o'clock at night here, just like all around the world, people were taking pots and pans and everything. They were celebrating during the darkest times. And that seems to be something that human beings know societally, but that we forget internally. When we are experiencing challenges and difficulties, we so often want to just go into a self-pity party instead of in taking on the exact opposite approach. And that is to begin to take on those feelings with gratitude. A rampage of gratitude is what Esther Hicks calls it. Just to begin to say, yeah, okay, this isn't working, or that didn't go, or whatever, but use your but this is good, but I'm happy about this, but I'm lucky about this. And one of the most important things we can do to celebrate in the darkness of our life is to even celebrate the darkness itself, because the darkness makes us appreciate the light. The difficult times make us grow. The difficult times help us become more than we ever thought we could be. So this is why, regardless of your religion, human beings all over the world tend to go, man, the days are super short, and in lots of parts of the world, it's cold. Oh man, let's have a party. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate what's inside, because what's outside is so dark and so foreboding right now. So it's important for us to understand that Christmas is a metaphor. It is the celebration of the Christ Mass. It is the Christ Mass. It is the celebration of the Anointed One. So many times we hear people say, oh God, why don't you do something? And the answer, of course, that we like to hear back is, I did. I sent you. Whether, I don't want to step on any toes here, but I think that you can get what I'm saying, regardless of your religion. And that is that you are the Messiah you've been waiting for. In other words, whether or not you're a true Christian in the sense of the word, believe that Jesus Christ will be brought back to life and will reign here in the United States, the more Christ-like you are when he gets here, the better. You've already done some of the work. And the same is true in your own life. So those ideas of what would Jesus do, the little bracelets, just to ask yourself, what would the highest, most divine in me do? What a wonderful guide. I once heard a comedian joking about he woke up one day with a dysfunction or something like that and thought he was God. And he said, all throughout the day, people started making him mad, but he would just forgive them. That's what it means to be more Christ-like. That's what it means to not let stuff bother you. I did a talk the other day, and I was talking about this idea that a spiritual master is someone who's learned to master their spirit. Most of us are, you know, scream and cry as children and never stop. That's why people complain, because they are screaming and crying, trying to get their way because they can't think of any other way to get it. The way to get it is to realize, get what you want. It's to realize the power that you have and don't give it away in complaining and negativity. Let's take a look at some of your comments here and see what you have to say. I'd love to hear. The question for the day again is, what's your favorite part of Christmas? I've started to let God back in my life, so it is meaning so much more than gifts. That's wonderful. I love how you said that you're letting God more back into your life. I remember seeing a sign outside of a church that it said, if God is feeling distant, guess which one of you moved. It's very true. Some days I'll be sitting outside having my morning coffee and I'll go, wow, I haven't prayed. It's been like a couple of days and I haven't prayed. So I make the conscious effort to do that. James Henderson says, amen. Second time watching on Facebook, I watched the one with your one on how to write a book. I love the Complaint Free World and Bracelet. Linda, that's so great to hear. Everybody, welcome and say thank you to Linda for being here. That's great to hear. Gerald Johnson says, singing at Christmas Eve candlelight services, as I will this year. Yeah. Jerome Johnson has the voice of Barry White with some more butter on it. It's just that good. That's why I celebrate the winter solstice. Awesome, Ashley. Great to hear. There's our good friend Daniel from Brazil. Good to see you, Daniel, as always, you and your son. Linda says, once upon a time, we had lots of cousins and aunts and uncles, grandparents, all having eating, multiple events, sharing time and conversation, hopefully in 21. We, our families, can do a better effort to celebrate the birth of Jesus and forgiveness. Way to go, Linda. Love to hear it. Elena says, welcome to, I guess that's Linda, who is here for the very first time. Natasha Harris, good to see you, Natasha, as always. Good morning. The thing I think we want to remember is that it's not arbitrary, that human beings are driven by the same things all over the world, and that is, when times are dark, we look for the light. When times are cold, we seek warmth. And all of that resides within us. And the more we try and help other people find the light, and the more we try and give warmth to other people, the more blessed we are in our lives. Thank you so much for joining me today, and I look forward to being with you tomorrow. We're going to continue this conversation about Christmas. I'm looking forward to sharing with you. Many of you know the true story of Christmas in the Trenches, about the time that during World War I, the Germans and the French, I think it was, I've got all my notes. Anyway, they declared an unofficial truce on Christmas Eve. We've heard the story, we've heard the song, but there's a lot more to it than what you think. For example, the officers were not pleased. We're going to talk about how we can choose peace in the time of war, and in the time of other people wanting us to fight. Let's talk about that. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Enjoy today. Bye-bye.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.